we do love you.
Amen.
We do turn our hearts to you.
Amen.
Oh, do cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
We pray that you anoint your word.
Amen.
And anoint our ears.
Amen.
That we can receive your speaking.
Amen.
We do need you this morning.
Amen.
We fully trust and depend on you.
Amen.
Bind the enemy and all his distractions.
Amen.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes I've had to apologize because we have too many verses. Now I have to apologize because we have too few. How come? Well, the reason is that when I got to chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I got stuck there. Why? Because the way I see it, verses 1 through 4 is the base, is the basis for the rest of the chapter. In other words, if we don't experience chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, we certainly cannot experience what follows. In fact, I had considered that it would be so good to cover Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. But the more I considered, I realized it's not necessary. These verses are very clear once we get into them. So we start with verse 1. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Well, after reading verse 1, we need to ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we? Are we in the heavens or are we in the earth? Where are we? Well, to be quite honest, we need to be a little careful. There is one requirement to be in the heavens, and that is obviously to be in our spirit. So what happens? If we're not in our spirit, we are not in heaven, but we are on the earth. By the same token, if we pray ourselves into the spirit, we are in the heavens. Now the problem with us is that we think in physical terms. But being in the heavens is not physical. It's spiritual. It doesn't mean that we're up there physically. So we need to realize. So then that means that 1 minute we could be in heaven and another minute on the earth. For instance, let's say you have a precious morning watch, a delightful morning watch, a sweet morning watch. You almost can't touch the Lord. Okay, so you are in heaven. You come to breakfast, and the wife or the husband says something, you plunge right down to earth again. So we need to have this made clear. The difference as to where we are is in our spirit. We do not remain in our spirit. We come to the earth. So this is very clear. Then, in this verse, we are told to seek the things which are above. How do we seek the things which are above? Again, we need to turn to our spirit and call on the Lord. And then we can seek the things which are above. In a home meeting, somebody asked, "What are the things above?" Well, that's a good question. Of course, from the very verse itself, it tells us Christ is above. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But, who is Christ? Christ is the Lord and Christ. In Acts 2:36, what does it mean to say he's the Lord and Christ? It means the whole earth is his. Not only that, but the enthroned and glorified Christ is also the head of the church. In Ephesians 5:23, he is the head of the church. But he's also the forerunner. I like this. The forerunner. In Hebrews 6:20, it tells us that he entered into heaven. And the context of those verses are a storm. And we need to seek the heaven as a refuge. But he is there. What does it mean that he's a forerunner? That means one day we'll be there, not only in our spirit, but actually. So I like the name forerunner. And of course, even more precious, he is our high priest. In Hebrews 8:2, he is the minister. He ministers the heavenly places. And in Revelation 5, 6, and 7, he is the Lamb on the throne of God's administration. Now, we could say that from the throne in the heavens, there is a transmission of life to us. And that transmission, where does it go? It goes into our spirit. Actually, seeing a vision of the things above will revolutionize our life. It will cause us to turn attention from the things on earth to the things in heaven. These days, we're going to have a primary election. Down the road, we'll have an election, especially for a mayor. Who's going to be the mayor of New York? But, what about the things in the heavens? You know, I have to laugh because I get mail from different candidates, and they all seem to attack each other. Praise the Lord. The things in the heavens don't attack each other. This is what we need to seek, the things which are above. We should care for the Lord Jesus as the crowned Lord, the head, the forerunner, the high priest and minister. Then that brings us to verse 2. In verse 2, it tells us not only to seek the things which are above, but to set our mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. So this means we need to forget the things which are on the earth. Okay, what are the things which are on the earth? Culture, religion, philosophy. We need to forget these things and just turn to the Lord. Set our mind on the wonderful, excellent things in the heavens. We need to open our spirit. We need to turn the switch on so that we can enjoy the things in the heavens, so that we can enjoy the transmission from the throne. So we shouldn't be distracted by religion. We shouldn't be distracted by philosophy or by culture or getting closer to home by our background, our disposition. What we are can distract us from God. We need to forget about all that. How can we forget what we are? When your eyes are on the precious Lord, our bridegroom, you can forget who you are. This is what we need to see. For this, we need to open our spirit, exercise our spirit, focus on the things above, and stay open to the heavenly transmission. Then the riches of the heavenly Christ will be transmitted to us. That brings us to the only other verse from this portion, Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And raised us up together with him, and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." Very interesting. This verse tells us that we were raised up together with him. According to our concept, we were raised one by one. But according to God, we were all raised together. We have the picture of the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea. They all went through the waters of death and arrived at the other side together, the whole nation together, in Exodus 14. So this is a good picture, a clear type that we were all saved together. We're all made alive and raised up together in the Lord's resurrection. In 1 Peter 1:3, it tells us that we were regenerated in the Lord's resurrection. All right, now this verse says that we have been seated together in the heavenlies. The word heavenlies is an interesting word. It just doesn't mean heaven. It means a heavenly nature, a heavenly atmosphere, a heavenly characteristic. When we have our mind set on the things above, we're heavenly people. So it is not just merely heaven, but it's an atmosphere. And I believe that we all have experienced this, especially at the Lord's table. When we admire our precious Lord, when we see his beauty, aren't we in heaven? Yes, we are. This is so precious. We have a heavenly atmosphere. But suppose you go to a theater. No heavenly atmosphere there. that will be earthly atmosphere. So it was in Christ that God seated us together in the heavenlies. This was accomplished when Christ ascended into heaven. Today, we realize and experience this reality in our spirit through faith in the accomplished fact. Our mind cannot understand this. How could it be? We were regenerated, we were made alive, we were raised before we were born. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense, but it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. The Lord has chosen us before we were born. Then coming back to Ephesians, now we come to verses 3 and 4. It says, "For you died." Oh, after such nice portion, we find out that we died. Of course we died because we've been raised. You can't be raised unless you die. "And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory." So here we have twice the word life. Verse 3 talks about your life. Verse 4 talks about our life. What does this mean? What kind of life is this? For this, we need to check with our experience. The life here is Christ's life becoming our life. You may say, "Oh, how come? What makes you say that it is Christ's life?" Well, very simple. In verse 3, it tells us your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you believe that your human, natural life could be hidden with Christ in God? Never. The life we inherited from Adam cannot be hidden with Christ in God. So then we realize that the life that is hidden with Christ in God is Christ's life, the divine life. But it says your life. Very interesting. What does this mean? Well, first of all, what does our life mean? Really, our life is ourselves. If we don't have life, forget it. Bye. We're gone. So, our life is, our natural life is ourselves. So then, if the life that is hidden with Christ in God is the divine life, and yet it says our life, means that Christ and we have only one life. This is his life that has become our life. To me, this is quite clear. We can't get around it. We shouldn't believe that Christ was one life and we have another life. The life of Christ has become our life. Well, again, our life is us. So, since the divine life has become our life, that means Christ has become us. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's heresy. Well, we have the divine life and the divine nature. We are not part of the Godhead. That's very clear. But there's no other way to interpret these verses. All right, so then what is the life of Christ like? We want to see three characteristics. The first one, which is very clear in the Gospels, is a crucified life. And of course, at my age, I forget verses. It's hard for me to quote. But in Matthew, when it turns out the biggest cities in Galilee left the Lord, what did the Lord say? I thank you, Father, that you have revealed this thing to babes, which were the disciples. We never, ever see the Lord feeling sorry for himself. No such thing. The Lord didn't cry for himself. Oh, wait a minute. In John 11, he did cry. Yes, but you know why he cried? He cried at the unbelief of those around him. So his life is a crucified life, a life that has been processed to the uttermost. It's not a raw life. So if we know this life, if we experience this life, if we live by this life, we will not be those who cry for ourselves, who feel sorry for ourselves when things happen. Rather, we will praise the Lord. We will thank the Lord in a genuine way. The second characteristic of this life is that it's a resurrected life. So nothing, including death, can suppress it. Furthermore, in resurrection, no tears. You know, if a sister cleans a room of the meeting hall and somebody criticizes her and she cries, do you think she's living by the resurrection life? No way. There's no such thing in the resurrection life. The resurrection life cannot be dealt by the things that happen. But if we serve in the natural life, sooner or later we will get offended. Now, we brothers have mentioned many times about the cleaning of the meeting hall. The elderly sisters do the cleaning. We mentioned the young people should do the cleaning. Nothing has happened. Well, we brothers decided it would be good if the home meetings take turns and do the cleaning. And we thought that would be good. But yesterday I heard, no, that's no good. It is better to have people that are volunteers. Well, whether volunteers, whether home meetings, you name it, we need people that are younger than the ones who do the cleaning. So his sister told me, you mean to say I won't be able to clean anymore? No, not that, but really, really, the testimony of the church should be that saints love to serve, love to clean. Not just the older ones. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, I encourage them to make a list of the cleaning duties. And we'll see where that takes us. Maybe there will be a combination. I don't know. Number three. Furthermore, the life Christ has is a life hidden in God. You know, the Lord never advertised what he did. Neither should we. But, our human natural life loves to make boast. And so in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 6, which deals with making offerings, with prayer, 16 to 18, we see that the Lord exhorts that whatever we do, we shouldn't make boast of it. What does that mean? You know, against the wall over there, there's a box. So suppose after the meeting, you're going to put an offering. And there's a lot of people around. And so you take a bill, and you put it like this, and it's hard for it to go in the hole, right? Don't do that. If lots of people are looking, what you should do, you fold this and you say, "Hi, how are you?" and put it in. But you know, this is the way we are. We love to let people know all the wonderful things that we do. But that is not Christ for sure. His life is the hidden life. Okay, now, actually, we also have one living with Christ. Oh, wait a minute. The word living is not mentioned. True, it's not mentioned, but it tells us in verse 1 to seek the things which are above, and it tells us in verse 2 so to set our mind on the things which are above. This means our living. So we can say we have one life and one living with the Lord. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm not there yet. There are minutes when I'm there. And hopefully every day there will be one or two more minutes. That's the idea. But, you know, if we don't see what the Bible tells us, we can never experience it either. So we shouldn't say, "Oh, well, that's too high, that's not for me." Never mind. Whatever's in the Bible is for us to experience, so we need to receive it. That doesn't mean that we're hypocrites, right? Even the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 tells us he had not yet arrived, but he pursues. We need to be those who pursue after the things which are above and set our mind on those things. Verse 4 tells us Christ is our life. And as I mentioned already, nothing is more personal than our life. Christ must be our life in a practical and experiential way, not merely in a doctrinal way. Yes, of course, first of all, we have to see, hear, and receive what the Bible tells us as doctrine, but then we have to experience. But I don't have the utterance to explain in detail what does it mean to live by the life of Christ. What does it mean to live Christ? What does it mean to say Christ is our life? We're short of utterance, but we can experience. Actually, we have life. We have a physical life. Can you explain it? We really can't. If we can't explain in detail our physical life, much less can we explain in detail the divine life. Even the physical life is mysterious. How much more is true of Christ, our life? Just like we cannot deny the fact of our physical life, we cannot deny the fact of the divine life. So we have another kind of life in us, the divine life. If Christ does not become our life, then what happens? Then whatever is related to Christ is objective. It's doctrine, it's teaching. Only if Christ is our life can we experience everything he has attained, everything he has obtained, and all his riches. So I pray that we would be those who seek to experience this, to live by the divine life. I would especially exhort those above 40, or maybe 50. Our time is getting shorter, so we better get into this so that we can really enjoy the Lord in this life. But what happens? Over the years, we got accustomed to living by our natural life. And maybe we hear a message about the natural life, the self, the flesh, and we say we hate the natural life. We love it. Not only we love our natural life, we think it's better than everybody else's. So it's not so easy for us to experience living Christ, to experience the life of Christ, because we appreciate very much our natural life. So if it boils down to one thing, I would say the unique need is Christ. The unique need is to live Christ. The unique need in the church right here is to live Christ. Okay, all right, so we want to live Christ. How? It has to be in an atmosphere of prayer. There's no other way. If we would experience Christ and live him, we need to remain in that atmosphere of prayer, because that's a way for us to be brought into the Spirit. When we touch the Lord in the morning, the time is so precious. It's so wonderful. But you know, after we have morning watch, somehow we switch off. Not that we want to, just automatically. We have genuine prayer when we have morning watch. We really touch the Lord. We really experience the Lord. Then we go back to our usual way. We fail. We repent, we confess, and we seek to be spiritual and victorious. And we fail again, and we do the same again. This is not a picture of the proper Christian life. We need to be those who spend time in prayer. Well, you may say, I can't pray all day. We can call on the Lord. Even when you're with others, you can call on the Lord silently. And when we are living Christ, when we're enjoying the divine life, there are no problems, no anxieties. We really can say that we're victorious. But it's not by our effort, but it's by the divine life. So this experience of genuine prayer should be a picture of what our life should be. Our daily life should be the same as our morning watch life. Then we can really live Christ. To live Christ is a need to persevere in prayer, to pray without ceasing. We need to stay in an atmosphere of prayer. And then spontaneously, we're victorious. We have Christ experientially and in a practical way. Then Christ is our life. This is what it means to live Christ. But you know, sometimes we may get confused. Suppose here is a sister. She's loving, she's quiet, she's careful, and she cares for others. It's very easy to feel, that's a divine life. Not necessarily. Here's a brother who really can expound the word with powerful words. Oh, that is life. Not necessarily. We need to see that unless we're in an atmosphere of prayer, we cannot live the Lord's life. So, okay, you might say, well, show me examples of this. There are many examples, but I will show just three. One example was Sister Nee. Sister Nee was the mother-in-law of Dr. Luke Kung. She was a prayer warrior. And she desired so much to be in the meetings. The last time I saw her, I will never forget it. I was in the street coming towards the doors on the north there, and I saw Dr. Luke Kung and his wife carrying between them Sister Nee. Her feet were dragging. She was that weak. And yet she insisted on coming to the Lord's table. The same thing we can say about Sister Tzu, Jin Hong's mother. She was also a prayer warrior. She really prayed. And there was a sense of a loss when these two sisters died. Then there's another sister in Long Beach, California. Since that's far away, I can talk a little more about that. That Sam Bernier's mother, if you remember, Sam and Ruth Bernier were here a few months ago. She always comes to the training. My wife and I always make a point of talking to her. She's a real prayer warrior. So as you talk to her, maybe you say, God is faithful. Amen. That's a reaction. But if you say anything, oh, you're a prayer warrior. Oh, you're such a sister. She would look at the floor. She would never answer. That's to have a life hidden with Christ in God. Okay, maybe that should take care of verses 1 through 4. Now we come to verses 5 through 9. But again, we have to remember that this follows after verses 1 through 4. Here in verses 5 through 9, it tells us to put to death our members that are on the earth, put off the old man with his practices. And then, following this, on verse 10, we put on the new man. In verse 5, we're told to put to death our members which are on the earth. This refers to the aspects of our flesh. In verse 8, to put away certain negative things from our soul. And in verse 9, to put off the old man with his practices. So in verse 5, we're to put to death, the lust of the fallen body. According to verse 8, put away the evil things of the fallen soul. Finally, according to verse 9, to put off the old man as a whole. Only by living Christ, only by our living by the divine life, can we do this. Otherwise, it's really hopeless. When we live together with Christ, we can do all this. We can take care of all the aspects of our flesh, of our soul, and of the old man. And as a result, we will be the new man. By enjoying Christ as our life and seeking the things above, we will, in experience, be the new man. So then that brings us to verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. In Ephesians 2:15, it tells us that the new man was created. He was created at the cross. But here it tells us that the new man is being renewed. If it's created, how can it be renewed? Well, we need to see that the new man not only involves the divine life, but also our human life. And our biggest, humongous problem in our soul is our mind, with its thoughts, opinions, concepts, etc. So our mind needs to be renewed. And when our mind is renewed, then we can seek the things that are above. Then we can really appreciate our precious Lord. So because the new man involves our natural life, it does have to be renewed. Then verse 11, where there cannot be, the Greek there is so strong, there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Where refers to the new man. In the new man, there's no American, no Chinese, no Korean, no Spanish, no me either. It is just Christ is all. Christ is all the new man, and in all the members of the new man. So there cannot be any nationality, any culture, anything to differentiate. It is just Christ. Then we come to verse 12. Oh, and this verse is so precious. Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. The new man is chosen, holy, and beloved. It's not common. It's not earthly. Inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Very interesting. It says lowliness, not humility. You could be humble and be proud of it. But if you're lowly all the way down there, you certainly cannot be proud. So we need to put on these virtues. These are the virtues of the new man. And then, verse 13, bearing one another. How do you understand this? Do you understand bearing one another, putting up with one another? Do you understand bearing one another is biting your tongue and taking the person? Well, that's really not it. Bearing one another means we help one another. Actually, there's a verse in Romans that mentions bearing one another's needs. So we should bear one another. But then there's another point, and this is a major point. Forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint up against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Here I'd like to spend a couple minutes. Friday night, some saints mentioned very hard to forgive. Well, I would say it's easy to forgive, impossible to forget. And if you don't forget, you didn't really forgive. So, but the verse is so clear. Forgiving one another as the Lord forgave you. So really, we have no choice. Well, I'll tell you a testimony. When I was in my senior year of high school, I was terrible at drawing. I could really not draw straight lines, like, for instance, having to draw a chair. I could never do that. However, I was able to draw the outside, trees, grass, that kind of thing. And when I was in the exam, I was in a private class, so the examiners came from the government. So I was going to be given a 4 for art. And the examiner, this is shocking, the examiner says, look at this. We could give him a 5. So my teacher came, he looked at the picture, and he said, "Look, look, see that mark there? Means he didn't do it." I had been a whole day doing it. I was sick at home, and I did this drawing, and the teacher said I didn't do it. Ooh, I was fuming. I rushed immediately to the headmaster, who was a believer, and he told me, "Well, if you really can't forgive him, we have a problem. But can't you forgive him?" So I hung my head and said, yeah, okay, I forgive him. Would you believe I would never forget this? After I went to college, after I was working, when I was here in the States, I realized, oh, forget it, that doesn't mean anything. So we need to learn the lesson. Brothers and sisters, we need to forgive and forget. We have to, just like the Lord Jesus forgave us. Okay, learn the lesson. How do we learn the lesson? Very simple. Give it to the Lord. Lord, I cannot forgive, but you can. Take away the root of bitterness. Take it away, Lord. He will do it. He's faithful. So, saints, I was touched from these verses that the Lord wants two things. One, he wants to live on the earth again through us. Two, he wants to live on us, in us, sorry. He wants to live in us before the wedding day. He doesn't want to wait for the wedding day. Praise the Lord. So, I will stop here. Brother James, would you like to say something? Oh, good.
I also enjoyed the first few verses of this portion, but what I like to do is this. I want to share the four W's with you, the four W's, because I think that in these first four verses, we find four W's, okay? Because it's easy to be impressed with the things above, okay? The things above. And so Paul, in writing to the Colossians, he gave them the four W's. The first W is which or what, which the things which are above, okay? So when you hear about things, we need to seek things above, we need to mind the things above. So tell me what, which, okay? So the first one is which. And the second one is where. You see, that's what Paul wrote. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where? Where? That's the second W. The third W is who? Who? Christ, right? And the fourth W is when, okay? We also have that word, when Christ, our life is manifested. Then you also will be manifested with him in glory. In the past, when I come to this verse, I always put it off until the future, right? When Christ is manifested. Yes, we all have the hope that Christ will come again. When he is manifested, we will be manifested with him in glory. So we put that off. So you hear a message about things above. Well, it's okay, it's very nice. But tell me what? But I don't have to do it now, okay? But it is not quite so, okay? Actually, these verses tells us there is it is important not to pay so much attention on the which. Don't say, well, let me see, what are the things above? In the morning, when you have the morning watch, don't think about, I'm not going to think about the things on the earth, which is easy to think about, as our brother mentioned, with the primary, the general election and stuff, and all the advertisement you hear about. But what are the things above? Well, we have to pay attention to where. The things above, where is it is coming from? You know, this word above is really, it is not a very easy word to use because it's an adverb. And here it's used the word above, okay? And in Philippians chapter 3, it's the same word is translated as upward. Now let me read that to you. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul mentioned, a very familiar verse. Paul mentioned that there's one thing he will do. He said, brothers, I do not account myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. That's the word upward. Okay, so I think it was good that we just had Philippians chapter 3 not too long ago. Now we come to Colossians chapter 3. Now we need to seek the things above, where Christ is. And we need to set our mind on the things which are above, where Christ is. So don't pay so much attention on the which, but pay attention to where. Where is above. Why? Because where Christ is. Who? We have to focus on the where and the who. And there is a price, of course. And then in Philippians chapter 3, I also enjoy this because this has something to do with what our brother shared. In verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3, he said, for our commonwealth exists in the heavens, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that verse people usually think in terms of the future, not for the present. But I enjoyed, actually, Darby translates this word, commonwealth, is very difficult to translate. And Darby, in his translation, he said, commonwealth, to translate this in citizenship, is not completely, did not completely express this feeling. And to translate as a commonwealth is also not easy to understand. So he used this expression, okay? Now I'm going to borrow this expression. I thought it was very, very meaningful. He said, but our association in life is in the heavens. He said, we are living on this earth, but there is a kind of a association in life. This is what here is talking about. It's talking about Christ is our life, and our brother mentioned these three aspects, the crucified life, the resurrected life, and the hidden life with Christ in God. Okay, so we live on the earth. Our citizenship is not the U.S. citizenship. And of course, we are here mostly, we are U.S. citizenship. But our, dear brothers and sisters, our association in life is from heaven. Now, what does this mean? Okay, let me just use one more example. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came at night to see the Lord Jesus, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you're from God because the things you do, no one can do except it's from God. And you know what the Lord Jesus told him? The Lord Jesus told him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this born anew, if you look at the footnote, it actually means born from above. Except a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this morning, Brother Ed already gave the message. I'm not going to give you the message. I'm just going to mention this. It's very interesting. If you compare this verse with Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our association in life is from the heavens. You know, dear brothers and sisters, every day, I mean, in the morning when you pray, when you read the word, when you fellowship with the saints, and it only reminds us our association in life is from heavens. And we forget the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things that are before. We press forward toward the goal for the prize in which God has called us in Christ Jesus upward. Upward. You know, it is good that the church is called out once. And every morning, the Lord is calling us, come up hither. God is calling us upward. So now, don't pay so much attention. Say, what do I think? What are the things that are from heaven, from above? What are the things that are from the earth? Well, you know. You know where you should hear the voice from. We need to hear from the voice where, which is from above, and from whom, which is the Lord Jesus, and when. Actually, you know, this portion, this week, I'm very much touched. This matter about seeking the things above and thinking about the things above, it's not something in the future. It is something very much for the present. Don't think that when Christ appears, then we will appear with him in glory. It's in the future. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming. Yes, there is that future glory. But today, we already can experience, have a taste of that. Okay, so I'm really enjoying these four W's. Don't pay so much attention to the which, but pay attention to the where and who and when, which is now. We can put off the old man, and we can put on the new man, and we can enjoy Christ as our life.
I enjoyed very much association in life. I'm sorry, I had forgotten that portion. But now is the time to pray, and then it's your turn to share what you have enjoyed. And you don't have to be stuck in verses 1 through 4. You can share in the whole portion whatever you enjoy. And those going to the language meetings will do so now.